I come to you today on one hand very grateful for the outpouring of the Lord at the recent Identity, Integrity, and the Awakening of the True Self seminar. We had a wonderful time in the Lord's presence. We talked about how secure God has made us in Christ, and we spent time worshiping and talking. And I left there so thankful that the Lord wants to secure His children in the wonder of His grace and in the security of our identity that's in Christ. If you get a chance, I encourage you to come to that seminar. I am going to be offering it again coming up October 11 to 14 in Colorado Springs. I might also mention that October 20 to 21st, I'll be in Boulder, Colorado. I'll be doing a men's event open to the public Friday evening, all day Saturday at Cornerstone Church in Boulder. And if you're there or you know some folks that are there, I'd encourage you to come on out. It's going to be a time of talking in the Lord and sharing with one another. I think it's going to be great because God comes. That's the issue. I love to be at these events because the Lord's presence arrives. And when God shows up, things happen. Things change. People receive new life. I want to talk to you about Harvey and Irma and the earthquake that took place in Mexico. The last couple of weeks have shown some devastating weather that has taken many, many lives, destroyed billions in property, and certainly made it difficult for countless people to make it day by day. It's really been, to some degree, unbelievable as to how much devastation has occurred and how many people are left not only hurting, but without the resources they need day to day to move through life. I want to admit that I've been taken aback by some of the comments that people make in the media about these types of events that occur in any nation, but in our nation, that are so unhelpful and also quite inconsistent with the heart of God. I saw that one celebrity commented that the devastation that took place in the United States, she didn't mention the Mexico tragedy, is Mother Nature's way of punishing us for electing our president. Wow. I'm not sure philosophically even how to get after that. Personalizing the concept of nature, that nature has a will, that nature is able to reflect, that nature is able in some way to bring retribution specifically on people for their actions, I don't even know where to go with that. I'm also concerned that I found that some Christian celebrities are saying that this was God's punishment on our nation and that we need to repent. Well, let me say repentance is always in order, regardless of what's occurring in our lives. We don't repent because God puts His neck on our throat. We repent because God is so good and so loving, and He wants us to come home. That's the notion of teshuva. Repentance in the Hebrew has the notion of come on home. Come on home to where God is and to the abundance that is ours because He is our Father. That's, I think, the central teaching of the parable of the prodigal son, that he was the son when he was home, he was the son when he was left, he was the son when he came back. But when he did come back, he was received with such generosity and such kindness, and coming home is the notion of repentance. But I don't think that what we're seeing here in these tragedies is God's way of somehow showing us how bad we are and how bad things can get in order that we can repent. As a matter of fact, if you look to the teachings of Christ in Luke, he talked about a tower that fell on 18 people, and he asked the question, who sinned more? And he was basically saying that this didn't happen because one group of people sinned more than the other. If that was it, then God would give commensurate punishment across the board for everyone that did certain acts. What Jesus was simply saying is these kinds of things happen. The rain falls on the good and the bad. It isn't based on some principle that certain people receive punishment because of their merit and other people are rewarded by merit. God doesn't act according to meritocracy. God is looking to draw us all into his embrace as his children. So I guess my frustration comes is I don't know how these comments are helpful at all at a time when people are hurting and heartbroken. Can you imagine how distressing it would be for someone that's actually in the midst of these tragedies to hear these statements and look what's happened, and then all of a sudden they're trying to measure, what is it that I did that deserved this? Folks, I get blessings from God all the time that I know I didn't deserve. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. It all relates to the fact that in the very beginning, this isn't what God had in mind. Once the fall came, all creation begins to be compromised because of the fall. And I think God is in Christ always telling us, this is not what I had in mind. And that's the reason he sends Jesus. Christ came in order to bring us back under the reign and rule of God and to establish us as his children and to help us to experience the wonder of his embrace. And so I want to make a couple suggestions in this time we have together of how we should be responding to what's happened in our country and happened in the Caribbean, all these lives, destruction, death, loss. How should we be responding? Well, first, I want to remind you of a scripture that comes in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 13, it is written, "Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering." Scripture is telling us that during times like this, it's important that we be empathic. Empathy is the ability to attune into the state of another person, to feel what they're experiencing, to not only care, but to then use your strength to be able to help them to move to another place. It's empathy that we should be experiencing about these tragedies in the Caribbean, in Florida, and up into the Carolinas and Alabama and Georgia. We should be feeling empathy. Empathy about what took place in Houston and the amount of devastation that those folks are walking through. Empathy about what's happening in Mexico. It's not an opportunity for us to preach judgment and to give a picture of God as angry and ready to in any way send a message of destruction across this world. We should be as God's people like Jesus, who was always tuning in to the suffering that people were experiencing and tell them that he came here to make a difference and that they could come under the reign and rule of God where there is mercy and grace. Our attitude should be that we are heartbroken, that we imagine what it would be like to be going through this and then use that as motivation to be able to move forward then and to do something that actually makes a difference. Our hearts should not be hardened in judgment. They should be broken. We should not be looking at an objective distance and trying to discern philosophically why this all happened, but instead we should be, as Scripture says, entering this difficulty, entering this suffering, and allowing it to move us. Now, how should it move us? Well, at the very least, we should be praying. I don't always understand prayer, but I do know that God has bound himself to his people in prayer and that we can begin to petition God that he would open the resources of heaven through his people often in order that individuals that are in a very tough spot can receive the kind of care that they need. There are people suffering greatly in the midst of these tragedies, losing family members. And someone wants to make a statement that this is God's judgment. How does that draw people toward God? God wants us to understand that his arms are wide open. He runs to meet us on the path as we turn home. And that he wants to provide us with rings and robes and celebrations. And he also wants to enter the suffering of our lives not just to give us strength, but also to help us navigate in a way that would lead to our deliverance. And so I would encourage us, let's spend some time in prayer, gather with other Christians, pray. But that's really not enough, is it? I think the next thing we need to do is we need to be generous. There are telethons that are happening. I went to Walmart to purchase some contact lenses, and as I was there at the register, the wonderful woman working with me said, would you like to give a gift to the hurricane relief? I said, oh, really? And she said, yes, and if you give $10, company of Walmart will double that and then add another a gift to it. So I said, well, what does that mean? She said, well, if you give $10, there'll actually be $30 that is going. That's such a small thing to do. I certainly did that, but we need to do more. I love the story when Paul talks in Corinthians about the Macedonians and who out of their poverty were so generous. There are many opportunities right now. I'm sure you can turn to Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse. I saw that there were opportunities through the NFL. I would encourage you to go beyond simply talking about this theoretically, but let's do something. Do you know, even the smallest gift is generous. If you would be willing to give $5, that's a generous gift. It can make a big difference in somebody's life. And so I think this is something that we need to be willing to do, that there is a call in these kinds of times, an opportunity for all of us and for God's people to do something significant. If you're a pastor of a church, encourage your whole congregation to do this in order that we can make a difference in the lives of people that are struggling. And the amazing thing about this opportunity is our name is never attached. It's not like we will be known for what we did, which is the best kind of gift. We give in secret, and then we see what God can do as he moves forward. And so I think these are three beginning steps that we can take. Be empathic, care, ask God to touch your heart for the heart of those that are suffering. Pray, seek the kingdom, be generous, reach in. Give what you can, and for many of us, we can give, and it isn't even at all sacrificial. Nothing's really going to be less available to us because we've chosen to give these kinds of gifts. And then, of course, the other thing that we can do is actively care. Get involved somewhere. If your church is sending clothing or food packages or supplies, go there. Help them box it up. If you have the opportunity to go to these regions with some organization that is providing actual help in the recovery, consider doing that. Why? Because this is what Christ does. Remember, Jesus came on the greatest rescue mission, if you will, that the world has ever known. A whole people, all people, captured in the devastation and the brokenness of being separated from God, and here comes Jesus. And he's willing to pay the price of his life and redeem us with his blood in order that we can be reconciled to our Father in heaven, that we can be known as his children, that our feet can be placed on the solid rock. Jesus did this. Well, here's our opportunity. That's right, we have an opportunity. In the midst of this, we can be a revealing, reconciling presence the same way Jesus was. I want to do that. I'm meeting with my executive director of Healing Care today, and we're looking at some practical ways that we can participate, not only in a generous way, but possibly in a sacrificial way, so that these brothers and sisters, these men and women, these children, these families, these communities will not be alone, but in fact, they will be able to sense the touch that comes from the heart of God through normal people like us in order that their lives can be forever changed. I want to encourage you to consider what I'm saying here today. First, don't go down the road of heaping judgment and explanation on this that really doesn't match up with the testimony of Jesus. Just stay away from that. I want to stay away from that. Would you also? Let's not go down that path. But instead, let's look at this through the eyes of our Lord, who was always so tender and caring and generous and active and involved when it comes to people that were struggling. We need to be like him. We need to walk the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. And in this circumstance, it gives us the perfect opportunity to be the hands of Jesus that flow from the heart of Jesus toward a whole bunch of people that could use our help right now. When we do this, it really reveals the face of Christ. It shows us that love is what God is all about, and that love actually is God, and it's given freely, unconditionally, without merit, because that's the nature of love. And so, I guess I challenge you today, challenge myself, let's do a loving act, let's do something. There are plenty of opportunities that help us to weigh in, to care in active ways for the individuals that have been so hurt. I pray that God moves your heart in this direction. I also pray that you sense his face shining on you, that you recognize his grace is abundant, that he loves you, and that his care is around you in ways that you do not even know. Well, I look forward to us being together again. Don't forget to go to the Healing Care website. There are a lot of resources and videos and materials there, free to download, free to use, that could help you on your own healing journey. And our schedule's there also that could enable you to see where we're going to be and what the topics are that we'll be talking about. May God bless you today.